biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Well, it is finally here. Feels like we've waited 400 days, but it's only been 3 days. Because the Flames last played on Sunday, defeating the Dallas Stars in Game 7 of their opening round series. And then three sleeps later, here we are, Wednesday. It's Game 1, Round 2, Flames and Oilers from the Scotiabank Saddledome. The first time in 31 years these two teams will meet in the playoffs. The red lot tickets for the viewing party outside the Saddledome, I think, sold out in 46 seconds. So if you didn't get them this morning, hopefully you'll get them for Game 2 on Friday. Also pretty cool that the TELUS Spark Center has opened up their Sphere Theater for viewing parties. That also sold out in less than 2 minutes. So it's a hot commodity. Whether you're going in the building, going to a bar, going to your friend's house, there's a lot going on. And I'm sure lots of friendly rivalries out there as well. And, you know, the usual PSA on this program and likely on every program around, you know, this radio station, certainly around this province: be safe. Don't be an idiot. Be safe. Be kind to one another. Just because they don't cheer for the team that you cheer for doesn't mean we need to spew hatred or, cross any lines. Let's have some fun. Sports brings us together. At the end of the day, it is just sports, but let's have some fun over the next 2 weeks. Can't wait to see what unfolds first in Game 1, then obviously the potential 6 games after that. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. It is Game 1 of Round 2. We mentioned this earlier in the week. We launched the contest on Monday. We'll have this for every game, home game in Round 2. And pretty simple. We give you a code word every single day on this show. You enter that code word and your first and last name at 960-960. If you are selected, you're off to the next game in the lower bowl. And as per usual, like we did in round number one, we'll kick off today's show by announcing the winner, who is going to be lucky enough to be in the building tonight. We're giving you the winner's name now because, you know, give you 6 hours to make your plans and make sure you've got your arrangements in place to get to the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight. Our winner did it by entering the code word OVERTIME to 960-960. And our winner in Game 1 of Round 2 in the lower bowl is Jeremy. Jeremy is the lucky winner of the pair of tickets. If your name is Jeremy, and I'm sure there's a ton of you out there, if you're not contacted by promotions, you're not the Jeremy that won. So apologize to those Jeremys that haven't won, but the one who has won will be phoned by our promotions department, and you'll have full details on ticket pickup. And, start making your plans now, as puck drop is just after 7:30. Reminder, if you did not win, if your name's not Jeremy, you did not win these tickets, you'll have another chance coming up on Friday for Game 2. We'll begin our ticket giveaway coming up tomorrow on the morning show, and you'll have the morning show, our show, and Flames Talk tomorrow with another code word. And then Friday morning, Boomer gives you another code word, and we'll announce the winner for Friday's Game 2 at this very same time 2 days from now. So Game 1, Round 2. Logan, you are going to be amongst the thousands at the red lot. You are ready. You're fired up, and everybody is fired up. Can't wait for this one, and looking forward to getting it all going, and we'll be discussing storylines aplenty this afternoon.
I'm excited. This is as good as it gets. We've waited so long for this. There's a buzz around. The car flags are going. I think it feels like everybody's got plans when it comes to what they're doing for tonight or Friday night or Sunday even, looking ahead to the weekend. I'm as excited for this as I could be. It's going to be awesome tonight.
You know who else is excited? In fact, I would bet money that they are buzzing right now in their chair.
I don't know.
At the Scotiabank
Saddledome. Doesn't seem like his sort of thing.
Hot stove lounge. He's probably saying to himself, is it 7:30 yet? It's not, but we're getting closer. Peter Labardius joins us like he does every single day. The Flames analyst is brought to you by the Gemini Group. Home renovations, your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Lou, do you have the shakes? How's the heart rate? What's going on?
I'm good. I want to start with the first question today. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If you're going to break Logan, I'm all for it.
No, I'm not going to break Logan today. Well, maybe, but not right at this second. I never really. I like doing it. It's not always something that I have planned going in. It just kind of happens. Logan, I want to start with you.
Yes.
But you are both born and bred in this city.
Correct.
So, day of, obviously, you both have positions where it's embroiled on a day-to-day basis to deal with. But both of you, remove that part for just a second and tell me what you're thinking about going into game one tonight.
Oh, honestly, today, Lou, I've been thinking about all of the different moments that I've had as a hockey fan in this city between these two teams. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, how I feel like none of them will pale in comparison when these 2 weeks are done. I've thought of so much. I've thought of, you know, the years of Iginla and Tangay and battling against, you know, Steve Staios and Alish Hemsky. I've thought of the last couple of years with Connor and Leon and these cores going back and forth. I've thought a lot about that really the last couple of days. And I've come to the conclusion that those are just minor memories compared to what's about to unfold, because this is really what this series is, you know, meant to be. When you think of having close regional rivals and good teams and everything, this is what it's meant to be. Round two of the playoffs, it's where it means something and where it actually, I mean, you can talk about, oh, we beat you guys 9-5 or whatever. But this is, I think this is what means something, and that's what I've been thinking about.
Will, how about you?
Well, as you know, I got a lot of relatives in Northern Alberta, Lou, I've gotten some texts already today. And just for me, the thing that I am most looking forward to is being able to create some of those memories for myself. I think that, you know, we have seen different moments in the regular season over the last couple of decades, but nothing is even close to, you know, what we might see over the next couple of weeks. And I think that, you know, I'm just kind of have always been envious and jealous of people that have lived through the 80s and 90s in terms of watching these two teams do battle. I know it only happened once in the 90s, but, you know, for all those battles and, you know, really what it was. And I go back to even what you said yesterday in terms of it being kind of like a Stanley Cup for these two teams. It's almost like, yeah, you know, you'd love to win the cup, but you just can't lose to those clowns is kind of what everybody talks about. And I think that's exactly where everybody is. And so, I'm just kind of excited to be able to say that I've seen one. And I do worry, and we haven't talked about this at all, and I'm curious where you're at on it, Lou, because we talk about this in different sports and different moments, not just hockey, and that goes to our conversations on and off the air. But is there a danger? Are we at all worried or thinking about the fact that it might not live up to the hype? And because we're putting it on this pedestal, and you know, it's like every great moment you have in your life, and you're like, man, you do anything to recreate it. And some of the times the best things happen naturally. And I think it will, but it just, and the fans and the atmosphere at the rink will help that. But it just, I have been thinking a little bit about that the last couple of hours. Is, are we putting this thing a little bit too high on a pedestal right now?
Well, here's the best answer I can give you. How I would start is, and that's why I wanted to start the way I did today, asking both of you, and I love both your answers, because it's different for everybody. You know, it is. I mean, is it important to everybody this series in its context? Have I been looking forward to this possibility? Yes, but I'll be honest, not probably the way you guys have. This is where you're from. This is you against them. I don't have that same context. I have it in a different way. But, you know, I don't really know what to expect. And I have high hopes. But you never know until you go through like that. That's the beauty. You know, I have good friends who I envy in a sense, because whether it's at home and they love their theater, or whether you're huge into music, you know, it's different. Different concerts are different. But isn't the beauty that everybody is so invested and we have no clue? We really don't. We're going to spend, you know, the next 20 minutes breaking a few things down, but we don't know. And in its own way, that's what's spectacular. The only thing I can tell you is this. From my personal perspective, yes, I have lived my life of more than 50 years in a way that with what matters to me the most, I try to put myself in as many of those situations in the hope that you have lifetime memories. This has that possibility.
Agreed.
And that's pretty exciting.
It's pretty awesome. And can't wait for it. That's why I said in my intro that, you know, Lou's probably wishing it was 7:30 right now.
You know what? I'm okay. It's there's part of me right now that it's like I almost still wish it was tomorrow. Because I know what it's gonna be like. It's gonna be a lot in a lot of different ways. There's going to be one very unhappy fan base when it's over. And
yet it's only game one.
And it's like,
you can't win the series on night one.
No, you can't win the series on night one. You know, this is not game set. Like, I don't even know what that would feel like. That'll probably end up being in my top five of all time kind of moments and experiences. But, yeah, let's go. Let's drop the puck, but I'm okay with having an afternoon to breathe for a while before it happens.
Biggest storyline going into the game tonight, and probably even as the series plays out, Lou, is two very key players on both sides battling something. We don't know what it is. I think we have a better idea on Drysdale than we do on Tanev, as many speculating a high ankle sprain for Leon Draisaitl, which is incredibly painful. And you can only imagine what that pregame routine is like, getting his foot into a boot. But Draisaitl has not been on the ice since their Game 7 victory Saturday against the LA Kings. Chris Tanev has skated on back-to-back days. Let's start with the importance of number 8 in red, Lou.
Well, you know, we've touched on it a little bit in the last couple days, and for good reason. He's your most reliable guy back there. He's your best penalty killer. And when you take on the Edmonton Oilers, you know, I'm not sure there's a much more important piece of the Calgary Flames game. And he's been a big reason why it's been elite all year long, with probably the exception of the 43%+ that the Oilers operated against the Flames on the power play during the course of a 4-game regular season series. He settles everything and everyone down. There's a few players in the sport that, you know, they don't get the notoriety necessarily, but he is Elmer of this team on the back end, and that's for Elmer's glue, if you're not familiar
not
with the
Fudd.
Brand. Not Fudd. No, he might make an appearance here. Everybody else wants to be here, so... You know, I'm sure he's gonna make an appearance at some point too, maybe before the end of the hit if you're not careful. He's incredibly important. There's not even a chance that he's anywhere near 100%. I do certainly expect him to play. If anybody can gut their way through it, it is him. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, well, you know, he's one of the best players on planet Earth. He takes the majority of their key face-offs, makes plays, is a massive piece of their power play. So it's interesting that you go into this series with one incredibly important guy who's very responsible in helping you try to shut down McDavid and Draisaitl. And you have Draisaitl, who very likely isn't anywhere near 100% either, although, you know, it affects his skating, but he's so big and strong, protects the puck. It's quite a storyline when you think about it, going in on both sides, and it'll be interesting to see to what extent and how long each guy might be able to go.
Yeah, and it kind of leads me nicely into my next question, Lou. And I know you talked about it a bit yesterday. We talked about it a bit yesterday. You know, Chris Tanev's health, as you mentioned, probably not close to 100%. We don't know exactly where he's at or how he's feeling, and we won't find out until the Flames season ultimately comes to an end, whether it's this round or in next round or the following round. But, you know, for the Flames, in terms of defending this Oilers team and those two players in particular that wear number 97 and 29, do we see a similar approach for Calgary with 11 and 7 because of Tanev's health? And on the other side of it, I do think that, actually, I would be surprised just knowing that it likely is a high ankle sprain, and as I mentioned before, incredibly painful. Lou, I'd be willing to bet and maybe take it to the bank, including PNC, that I think we'll see Draisaitl majority in this series on the wing. I just think that ankle is too painful to play down the middle. Yeah, oh yeah. As a result, we're probably going to see a lot of 29-97 together.
Yeah. If you watch game number 7, anybody that we've chatted with today... Yeah.
He was a one-touch pass guy. He wasn't moving much, no.
...is fully expecting the same lineup for the Oilers that they closed out the Kings with, and with McDavid in the middle and Yamamoto and on the left side, Leon Draisaitl. There's too much skating. There's too much responsibility. You know, if you're having a hard time getting around, that's tough. I think the bigger question, guys, is, you know, Calgary starts the series at home. They have last change. Obviously, you know, it will mean a lot about getting which pairing you want out against those guys, but you have to do it collectively, because Connor McDavid played 27 minutes in game 7. 27 plus. And he's going to play 24 tonight, probably for fun. So, collectively. Now, is it going to be Backlund's line the majority of the time? Or is it going to be Lindholm and company? I got to believe it starts with the Backlund group.
Oh, and Backlund could have a very interesting matchup if he's away from McDavid as well, as the Oilers boast somebody that I think does a lot of the same things that Backlund does for this Flames group, Lou, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Well, they're kind of like their guy on each team. I don't think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins ever gets enough credit. And go back and look at what their record was in that stretch where he was out of the lineup for a few weeks and what it looked like after they got him back. As Jay Woodcroft talked about with the media today when asked about number 93 of the Oilers, you know, similar to both Lindholm and Backlund. They check every single one of the boxes on your team. They start a lot in the defensive zone. He plays both power play and penalty kill. You know, you drive your line. You have to play against, you know, the top people on planet Earth. And you know, Michael and his group, they're very, very similar. And, you know, that's going to be the interesting part, is how your entire group plays will dictate, right, fellas, a lot of that utilization. You know, optimally for both teams, you're going to start a lot in the offensive zone. And when you do, on the Flames side, you know who's coming out a lot, 28, 13, and 19. And on the other side, you know, if you're other 9 or other 8 leave, you know, the Oilers in a better position, then guess who's coming at you, maybe even... And they're coming at you 23-24 to begin with. So, yeah, I can't. There's so many similar guys. Even with Tanev, you know, you listen to Connor McDavid today, and I don't know if we have that clip or not. I got you guys stuff so late. I apologize. Been in 19 different.
I couldn't find it, Lou.
It's okay. But Connor McDavid talked about Cody Ceci and how he is like the Chris Tanev to Calgary. You know, he's their glue guy who had, by the way, a great series. He's plus +8. He had 6 points in round one against the Kings. You know, and I think you guys both remember this, probably going into the start of the season when we talked about the Edmonton Oilers. I really thought a massive key for the Oilers to take another step would be a pairing of Keith and Ceci. I really did, because they needed to solidify that, you know, that top four. So there's so many parallels of guys who maybe, you know, fall under the radar of the two top groups, and both teams have two very, very good top groups. So this is a fascinating. Both have goalies who, you know, when Mike Smith is dialed in and at his best, and he's having a heck of a playoff, Jacob probably will have a different kind of challenge and a different battle on his hands. You know, forget about the rivalry and the romanticism and emotion and all of it. This is a heck of a matchup, guys. It really is.
And the Flames will probably be happy to not see the likes of Klingberg, Heiskanen, Hockey Pod. Be a little bit of a different group for them when it comes to offensive zone and what maybe the Oilers try to do against the Flames than what we saw in round one, Lou.
Well, it will. However, you know, the Oilers transition, you know what they're feeding and who they're feeding there. You know, it was different with Dallas because they're bringing the third and fourth guys. Now, the Oilers aren't afraid to necessarily do that. And another interesting player in this series, and, you know, last year he played like 30 minutes a game against Calgary. This year it's been closer to 26, and his health, I don't think, is the greatest, and that's Darnell Nurse. And if I'm Calgary, 25 is going to have a rough series, because I'm taking a bite there every chance I get. Every chance I get. And as we've talked about, and I haven't changed my mind in 24 hours, Calgary Flames have, they're a puck possession team to begin with. They have shot volume, play to your strengths, and your strength is spending time in their zone, but yet being very aware that when the puck changes hands, you better be ready in transition.
And, of course, the other big X factor in this series, I know Jay Woodcroft was asked about it today, and, you know, he mentioned it's not safe to assume that we'd rather be on the power play, but we know how important special teams are going to be in this series, particularly the Flames penalty kill, who was so good in round one against a very dangerous Oilers power play, Lou.
Let's flip it, though, guys. I'm going to flip it.
Okay.
And here's why. I think the Flames power play might be the difference. You just know that the Oilers, with their group and who they feature, you know, they're probably, if you can keep them in this series to between 20 and 24, 25%, you've probably done something. What's Calgary's power play going to operate at? Mm-hmm. It can't be 2 for 24 again.
No.
So that's for me, and I'm glad you went down that road, guys, because, you know, it's crazy. Yes, you have got to deal with Connor McDavid, or he could take a series and run away and hide on you. So that is massive. But the way to do that, he's not dangerous with a puck if he doesn't have it a whole lot. And he's still going to wow you and generate 5, 6, 8 chances even when you're doing it well. But the Flames have played this team pretty well at 5-on-5 this year. However, I've never seen Connor McDavid look like he has in these playoffs. But the Flames' power play, and let's remember, too, about power plays, whether it's feeding momentum.
Mm-hmm.
The Calgary Flames have some good players on their power play, too. And they don't mind eating once in a while either. So they didn't get to dine out very much in round one. They could use a, you know.
Come on, they could use a Ruth's Chris steak.
They could use a good Ruth's, you know, and even they'd be happy with the banana dessert at the end, too.
8.3% for the Flames in round one, 14th out of 16 teams. The Oilers, Logan, 36.8% in round one.
So,
Like Lou said, if you can drop that by just over 10%, you're probably going to be in a pretty good spot.
Look like a couple extra bodies at Media Vale today, Lou. Some of the big guns from studios coming into town. Holy.
The Ed Whalen Lounge, a little busy.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is not small weaponry over here today.
They brought in the big guns.
The, you know.
Well, and as Frank Saravelli told the boys this morning in studio, this is Battle of Alberta live in the United States on ESPN. Not ESPN2.
No.
It's on the big flagship leading right in the Sports Center. Like, you don't get much bigger.
Deal. It's good. Last night was pretty good, too.
Oh, my God. That Avalanche team look okay?
Yeah, they're good. They're a pretty good hockey team.
Keep away in overtime.
The team they're playing is pretty good, though, too.
Well, their goalie was pretty good. I don't know about the team last night, but yeah,
well,
the goalie was good.
No, I don't disagree, but.
Could have been about 7-1 if they didn't hit the post 9 times. But, no, that's why the posts are there.
That's why the posts are there, and that's why the goalie is there. And, you know, game two will have a lot to say about, I think, where that series.
In both. Because
absolutely.
The absence of number 21 in white was, they made a pretty good job and did okay in game one, but he's not going to play again tomorrow. And
I don't think we're seeing
him again. Certainly not in this series, but that's a big loss. And as these games go on, it's going to be, I think, felt a little bit more too for that.
But didn't you come away from last night going, here's how I felt. The reason the Tampa Bay Lightning have turned into what they are and the champions they are, they can play any way you want. And they can make it happen however it is required. And you know on this program that I said months ago, I still thought the cup went through them. And without my favorite guy on the team, it's Mr. Point. It's going to be difficult, but that's a special group over there.
That goalie's okay, too.
Can't let that team hang around.
No. No. Because they will beat you. You know why? Because they know how to do it.
86 still looks all right. We're wondering if he was at 100%.
He played in Game 7 against Toronto with about a .103 fever. You know.
That was the temperature of it. That was the temperature of his stick last night when he was Deacon Aaron Ekblad.
I'll tell you who wasn't there on Saturday night, John Travolta.
Jeez.
For his Saturday night fever.
Okay.
That was a good one. I like that.
It's always organic.
It's good. Yeah, you got to let it happen. It's good.
You
like
got to let it breathe, boys. You got to let it breathe.
But,
okay,
I mean,
you
I'm
know what?
You, it's...
you guys got great audio. You got a heck of a show coming up.
Yeah, but nobody's Peter Laborius. We know that, right?
Well, you know that, and I know that, but it's too oxy for the public, capiche?
Fair. Capiche. Bye, Lou.
Bye, guys. Have a great afternoon. Look forward to hearing from you or seeing you tonight.
Yeah. Hello.
Take care. Hey, it's Peter Labardius every single day for the Gemini Group. Home renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. A couple of texts at 960-960. Correct. Amundo. The low power play percentage, probably a little bit to do with the goaltender in Dallas. I think that might have a slight role to play.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I also don't think the power play was at its best throughout that series. So, yes, did Ottinger have a large role to play with it? Yes, obviously. He had a fantastic round one. But I also think to lose point and, you know, it's a captain, but you got to be better heading into tonight against the Oilers, because I think that you got to get that power play up to a more normal level. And maybe they can do that against Mike Smith and company in a different defensive core from Edmonton, but I also didn't think they were at their sharpest, so we'll see.
And you can stop texting in code words semifinal or overtime. It's we've given the tickets away.
Sorry.
So I apologize if you did not get a call and your name is not Jeremy, you did not win the tickets. I understand our Jeremy's already been contacted because our promotions team says he was very excited on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the right man has got the tickets in his hand, and he'll be off to round one or round two, game one tonight. And we'll have another opportunity for you to win on Friday. Be listening tomorrow morning with Boomer. They'll give you the next code word. We'll have one tomorrow as well, as will the Flames talk in the afternoon. And then one more time on Boomer's show on Friday, and we'll announce the winner at the exact same time, just after 1 p.m. on Friday for game number two. So, yes, apologize if you did not win this time around. You got another chance coming up on Friday. If the series likely will, but if it does go into a game five, even a game seven, we'll have a couple more opportunities.
And the code words are different for game two.
Yes.
So if you think, oh, I'm just going to start sending in the code words ahead of...
They will not be valid.
They will not be valid anymore. We're going to have new code words.
You will not be in the draw.
So.
So trying to win with old code words?
Not the best.
Not the best. Going to help.
Not the best. But yes, thank you for texting in. I just wanted to... There's been a couple that have come in already. We've already given away, so... Yeah, no need to text in semifinal or overtime or whatever, because we've given the tickets away to Jeremy, and I hope he has a blast tonight at the Scotiabank.
Can't imagine it's going to be any good down there at the Dome.
No. This one came in. Man, when you guys announced the winner as Jeremy, I almost jumped out of my work boots, but obviously not the right one. Still excited.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to give away too much personal information.
No, that's why I only say first name. Yeah. But, yeah.
Maybe we'll do like a letter. Maybe we'll like make it like Jeremy L or something, maybe to help sift through some of the Jeremys.
Yeah.
I do feel for that guy. I feel for you if you were a Jeremy and you were in on this and you were just sitting by your phone waiting for promo to call you and it never happened, but that's the nature of the beast.
Backlund takes so many dumb penalties at terrible times of the game. I sure hope this team can stay out of the box. And yes, the Flames power play needs to make them pay if they get any chances and early. I don't know if Backlund took too many dumb penalties in round one. I don't remember that being the case. I think there were some others that were guilty of that, but I don't think that Backlund took anything in terms of stupidity. Am I remembering incorrectly, Logan?
I'm trying to think. It's all such a blur when you go through seven games. I don't remember, like, game
certainly nothing
two.
That like cost them a game or anything like that.
No, so. Not that I can remember.
Hmm. You need like 20 tickets. Yeah, if we had 20 to give away,
if we had all the money in the world to give out 50 pairs of tickets, we would love to.
Yeah, but
have you seen Ticketmaster this morning?
I believe the cheapest ticket, according to Ryan Pinder, was $402, and that was in press level row 9. So, yeah, it's not going to be a pretty penny. Somebody loved your, it was his stick that was the temperature. Somebody loved that one. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Knoll. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will visit inside the Flames locker room here from some of the particulars you'll see in this game tonight. And, of course, behind the bench, the main character. I mean, we all know who the main character is, right?
Ryan Huska.
Be standing a little bit to his...
Kirk
right.
Muller.
No. The guy in the middle.
Jelena.
No. He's not part of... You know what? It's funny. I saw Jelena in the press box in Game 7. He's not a part of the staff, so he's watching the game with no stress. I'm sure it was great for him.
Well, now, and then Jelly has the ties to both teams here.
He sure does.
So he doesn't have to stress as much.
He sure does.
$240 a ticket will get you into press level 13. Row 19 tonight. If you're so inclined on a particular resale website.
We will take a break. When we come back, we will hear from the man of the hour. Logan was joking. It's not Ryan Huska. It's not Kirk Muller. It is Daryl Sutter. All that as we continue. Hour one of the Big Show is live. Round two, game one. It's game day on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is the Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I have some Battle of Alberta memories coming up in the next hour with some Flames alum. Looking forward to that conversation just after 2:30. Flames and Oilers, game one of their second round series is tonight at 7:30. That's the scheduled time. We just talked about off the air. Will Nault, Logan Gordon along with you on a Big Show game day edition. Probably closer to 7:45, Logan, by the time they actually drop the puck. As Ryan Pinder has been saying all week long, the NHL has been lying to you about start times. It's not actually 7:30, but good. You get in the building early, get to your seat, get set, and puck drop likely between 7:40 and 7:45. But either way, you'll be dialed in, ready to rock and roll, and looking forward to this game tonight. The other guy who's looking forward to this game tonight is the man who's going to be behind the bench, Daryl Sutter. Grew up in Alberta. Obviously, a lot of his family and brothers have worked for the Calgary Flames. This is his second stint as head coach, first as a head coach, and, first time doing this Battle of Alberta as a head coach. Looking forward to it, I'm sure. And let's just gauge Daryl's excitement in this press conference. He joined the media this morning after pregame skate ahead of game one tonight against the Oilers. Here's Daryl Sutter with the media.
Well, you like consistency from your players, so we'll give you a consistent question. How's Chris Tanev feeling, and is he option tonight?
He's feeling great.
Anything else?
Daryl, what do you think you learned from your team being pushed to the brink like that by a goalie especially, but your team sticking with it and sticking with what they had to do to get through that?
Yeah, I think there wasn't really highs and lows during the series. I think it was just more teams that had the lead. So you just got to stick with it. Really simple. I think we came from behind three times in the series and won two of them. So, you know, it was a close series. It was, as I said, after the score was 15-14.
Daryl, Johnny was out here talking about the importance of keeping it even, allowing the Oilers to go on the power play. Can you talk about how tough that discipline will be to manage with the emotions of this rivalry?
Well, I think as playoffs go along, it's not just on this series. That's in every series if you watch every series and break it down. It's 5-5 is critical to teams winning.
Daryl, you've been around for a while now. As a player, as a coach, as many things, you've seen a lot. Do you still get excited by what's happening now and what's going to happen for the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you get to think how big the league is now with 32 teams and how difficult it is to make the playoffs. So then you cut it in half right away, and then you get to 8. So there's a quarter of the teams left playing, and if you're fortunate enough to be one of those teams, it's exciting.
You get nervous before games like you would when you were a player, as a coach.
Yeah, I don't think nervous is the right word. I think you just sort of get anxious ready. I think best part is watching the players. You know, when you have those breaks between series, you want them to have their break, right? Because there's always, you know, some mental and physical that they got some regroup there, and then the guys are banged up. You want them to get as much time as you can. But then when you get closer to the game, then you start seeing how guys react differently. So that's kind of the fun part. You learn lots about your players. I mean, hey, both teams got lots of guys that haven't been in a second round or won second rounds, and so you see how they handle it too.
Do you remember being nervous like in the past years?
Yeah, it's not nervous.
Never.
No, it's not. That's not the right way. I mean, you're ready for the game, but it's not a nervous, like a scared nervous.
It's not that. Were you scared nervous as a player?
Probably. I mean, that's 35 years ago.
Your team did a good job of getting out of the gate quick and scoring first during the regular season. How have you liked your starts in the playoffs, and where do you think that quality came from this year?
Yeah, I think it came from the importance of players understanding more about their preparation and their maturity and their professionalism in terms of come to the rink, being ready, and then not always having to score the first goal to have a good game. Right? That's really important attribute for young players, I think.
Darryl, you talked after Game 7 and throughout the first round series about really liking Johnny's game. What specifically stood out for you about the way he played against Dallas?
Played like he was a mature player. It didn't bother him that the checking didn't bother him. It didn't bother him that he missed a chance. And then, you play to your skill set. He scores the overtime goal to win the series, but really the biggest goal of the series might have been the penalty shot goal. He'd missed the breakaway prior to that, now was the headline. I was supposed to teach Johnny how to score on breakaways, right? That was the question. But then he scores in the penalty shot to give you a 2-0 lead, which is, in that game, it's a huge game. It's a turning point in the series. That's what good players do.
You talk about maximizing a skill set. What can Matthew Tkachuk bring to this series with his skill set?
He's a playoff-type player. Should be lots of traffic and play with discipline and play his game. It's not about individuals, about lines and pairs and fives and sixes. And
there's a lot of talk about Tkachuk, a lot of talk about Gaudreau, but Elias Lindholm is a finalist for the Selke Trophy. Is this the perfect stage for him to prove that he has the value to be there as much as Patrice Bergeron or O'Reilly or Barkov?
Well, that's a regular season award.
Do you feel like there's another level your team can still hit just in terms of performance in this series?
Well, if we don't, then we won't win. I'm not saying it because we're playing Edmonton, but they have two Hart trophies and Hart Ross trophies and things like that. So, and we don't. So that means that we have players that have to elevate their game. It's really not that hard to figure out when you think about it.
Do you think you're the underdog in this series?
Yeah, you know what? I love that underdog stuff. Yeah, we're the underdog. Edmund's saying they're the underdog. I love that stuff, right? I mean, so I love it. I think the best part is that you talk about the underdogs, and well, quite honest, in July and August and September, it was, the Flames were like 6th or 7th in their division. And then in December and January, that's what Edmonton, where everybody was saying about Edmonton, and now they're both in the second round. So it just tells you that the white noise and the bullshit is just that.
They've been loading up McDavid quite a bit early in games and just kind of throwing him out there every other shift. How confident are you in all of your pairings on the blue line that whoever might end up out there against them can manage it early?
They got to raise the level of their game. It's a pretty honest answer, I think.
There you go, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter, speaking to the media a little earlier today, a much larger media contingent than usual at the Ed Whalen Media Lounge at the Saddle Dome, Will, as we've seen plenty of...
You were
of,
down there, even.
Not today.
Oh, come on.
Not today.
Not the best.
Not the best. As we've seen, ESPN's going to be big on this one.
Yes.
You mentioned with Lou that they're, obviously ESPN new rights holder, but this is going to be front and center for their programming the next couple of nights.
Our boy Frank Cervelli is in the house.
Yes,
from Daily Faceoff.
You know, it's a big deal when Frank brings the old suit and tie to town.
Pierre LeBrun in the house from The Athletic and, of course,
Gucci Girls.
TSN. There's a lot of people in the house. Can't wait for it. Looking forward to tonight.
Be busy up on that catwalk.
Yeah, the press box a little full. So, hopefully there's no, it's an older, hanging from the roof type structure. So hopefully there's no limits that they're exceeding that all of a sudden it's going to come crashing down. I don't think that's going to be the case. I joke, but yeah, it's going to be awesome. And can't wait to see what the atmosphere is like in that building. If you're going, I'm sure you're eagerly awaiting the doors to be opened just after 6 o'clock. Puck drop at 7:30. It'll be after that. But yes, puck drop. Just after 7:30. We've got all the action for you, of course, here on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch the game on Sportsnet And CBC, if you are heading to the Red Lot, if you don't have tickets, well, you're not going to get in. But if you got tickets, you're lucky enough to do that. That opens 2 hours prior to puck drop. And you probably want to go a little bit early to get your seat. You don't want to be too close to the screen, but you also don't want to be way in the back. Maybe that is what you prefer. I don't know. But if you're going, it does open 2 hours prior to puck drop. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Knott. We'll take a break. We'll play some more audio for you. Other side as well. Edmonton Oilers. Don't want to forget about them. Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. They've spent a long time in Edmonton, Nugent-Hopkins in particular, and they'll be experiencing their first Battle of Alberta, first in their lifetime as well, much like Logan and myself. So we'll hear from them and also go inside the Flames locker room and hear from Johnny Gaudreau, who's going to be a big part of this series without a doubt. Hour two of the Big Show is around the corner. This is Game Day on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.